Well, as you probably guessed by now, that was a setup to introduce my message. But far too often in our Christian lives, we act that very way. We read the Word of God, but we make no change in the way we live. You know, we stay the same. We look in the mirror and, oh, well, too bad. God shows us some area that we need to change, and we resist rather than doing what He says. And so today, I want to speak on the subject of not just being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And in his teaching, James uses the illustration of looking into a mirror as someone who only hears but doesn't do. And so we want to get beyond that. We check the mirror, at least hopefully you do, to make sure that everything is in place. And we want to look as nice as we can. And I know for some of you, you may think, and some of us think, that that's challenging to make it look nice. And yes, as we get older, it does become more challenging to make everything look nice. But does a mirror lie? No, a mirror doesn't lie. It shows it like it is. It always tells the truth. It always tells the truth. And so James says that we should be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so James' illustration of looking into a mirror and not doing anything about it brings the point into focus. So what do we see when we get up in the morning? Probably not something that you want others to see. We want to hide our imperfections so that people don't see the real me. The Word of God takes away the camouflage. It shows us what we're really like. It shows us what we're like in our depraved humanity. Especially if and when we live in the flesh. Because the flesh doesn't live very well. And so when we think of a mirror, it tells the truth. It tells it like it is. It doesn't hide reality. So when you get up in the morning, do you take time to change your appearance so that you look presentable? Well, I would venture to say that we all do. Obviously, some people spend more time than others. Some people don't care so much what others think, while others really care what others think. And so they want to make sure everything is just right. Their appearance looks great. Now, when we have important occasions, you know, for our wedding, for other special occasions, we make sure everything is just perfect as well as can be done. You ladies probably spend hours preparing your hair and your face and everything else for that wedding day. And so, depending on what the occasion is, we may spend a lot of time. So we want to make sure that we look nice. In contrast to someone who comes in here with toothpaste on his face. That's probably not a way to enter unless you're trying to present a point. But it's easier to fix the outward appearance than it is the inward appearance. You know, we can do a pretty good job with a mirror. I mean, you know, we can make things decently nice. Some of us better more than others. But the inward, that requires a whole lot more work. That requires a whole lot more work. And I'm sure that we may make great effort sometimes to change those bad habits, but they seem to be difficult. And I'm sure if all of us, if we're honest, we can think of some character flaw that we have, some habit that we've struggled with and we've struggled with, and it just seems like no matter what we do, it's still there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But if we don't make the effort to make changes, obviously we are going to be a mess, okay? There's going to be a mess. So it's easy for us to come to church covering up what we don't like, pretending we're okay, when in reality, we still have a lot more work to be done. And as, again, as I read there from James chapter 1, we see that. The truth is, we constantly all need to apply the truths of God's word to our lives. Hearing truths without applying them is like looking into a mirror, seeing a mess, and doing nothing about it. The Christian life is really all about allowing God, giving Him freedom to work in our lives, to clean up the messes, and to make us different. And we're going to look at that today. Chances are, when you look in the mirror each morning, you probably see some of the same deficiencies. You know, you see the same thing that you have to do over and over again. You know, comb your hair, clean your face, and what have you. And, you know, we do it. Why? Because we want to look nice. But what about those inward messes? How much work do we do in terms of trying to make some changes there? And so in the spiritual sense, a lot of times we have the same spiritual issues that we're dealing with. You know, it seems like each one of us have our own weaknesses of the flesh, areas that we struggled with. And it just seems like every day or whatever, on a regular, ongoing basis, Satan keeps making the same attack in the same area because he knows that's where you are weak. And so he keeps hitting you at those same places. And so Satan does not let go easily of the messes we have. He wants to keep us under bondage where we can't live in freedom. He's content with us learning truths so as long as we don't put them into practice in our everyday lives. And so James tells us here in verse 25, well, let me read verses 22 and again following. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed and what he does. And so here we see a blessing, a person who is trying to live the Christian life, live out what he's supposed to, and doing as he should. The amazing truth of the Word of God is that we have been liberated from the power of sin, but we must use the power of the Holy Spirit to live in freedom from sin. We have to get beyond just hearing the truths of Scripture, as the verses here say. We must go about applying the truths in our lives so that there is an inward change. And as there's an inward change, people will notice the good change, and then they will be drawn to us, to what we have. Now, James then gives another example of this work, and I think it's actually good if we go back to verses 19 to 21. James is very practical in his teaching, and listen as he says, verse 19, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, if we could just get our hands and minds wrapped around that idea, a lot of us would be speaking a lot less, and we would be listening a lot more. And if we spoke a lot less, at least on many occasions, and we listened a lot more, chances are a lot of different relationships would be a whole lot better. How many arguments have started because someone didn't listen to get what the other person was saying, but just blurted out without thinking? Okay, going on. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The wrath of man. Yes, how much destruction that has brought. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So we receive the word of God humbly, meekly, acknowledging that, you know what, we need this truth. My life is messed up without it. I can't live the way I ought without his word. And then we receive it. We apply it to our lives. And then jumping down, verse 26, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Wow. That's putting it pretty straight, isn't it? Very practical. You know, if we pretend to be religious, you know, a Christian, but we can't control our tongue, people see through our falseness. You know, we need to be able to control our tongue. And so we have to learn to speak kindly, to be able to speak without getting angry and everything else. So that's a very important thing. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Okay? So if we're living out our faith, we will refrain from inappropriate speech. We will choose our words wisely anytime we open our mouth. The Christian with a foul mouth never promotes that which is good or builds up or edifies. He's self-seeking and he harms the work of God. So when God cleanses our hearts, he also cleanses our tongue so that we do not speak inappropriately. I want to tell a story now. Back when I was going to college almost 50 years ago, I kept hearing this person's name of Ethel Barrett. And I'm not sure for those of you in my time period may recognize the name. She was a storyteller. She could make the Bible come alive. She had a way of telling stories to children that they were just all in. Well, she wrote this book on James called Will the Real Phony Please Stand Up? And in here she tells the story of this older gentleman, by the way, it's not me, who, you know, he enjoyed art, he and his wife, and they lived in a town where there was a real nice art gallery. And one day these guests came, and they wanted to show them this art gallery, and so they did. Now, the guy really had poor eyesight. And unfortunately, they get to the gallery, and he realizes he forgot his glasses. And so they're going through this art gallery, and he starts waxing strong in terms of all of his knowledge of art and everything else, and his wife is just rolling her eyes and like, oh, come on, dear. And so they just go on and on until finally they come to this one portrait. And the guy just begins to really go off and he says, why in the world would they have this portrait of this old man here? I mean, the guy looks horrible. And his wife is trying to get his attention and she comes closer to him and he just continues on. And finally she gets to him and says, dear, you're looking in a mirror. Well, sometimes, yeah, a mirror tells the truth. Well, many of you are familiar with the song that says, they will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. So the question is, how many people know you're a Christian by your love? I have a tract at home that asks the question, if you're a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Wow. That's something to think about. If you're a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? And so our lives should constantly confirm the fact that we are Jesus followers. Life for the Christian must be a continual process of doing what the Bible teaches. If we listen to it, but we don't live it, we're only deceiving ourselves. And then James goes on in verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So we should be compassionate people, caring about the needs of others. And we should be caring about our own selves, that we are living godly lives, so that we present a good testimony before the world. And so the question again could be asked, do we care enough about others and ourselves that we're willing to do what is right? James 4:17 says it this way, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James then tells us what we know to do. And when we don't do it, if we know what to do and we don't do it, we're sinning. Now that's a pretty bold statement. He doesn't mince words. He tells it like it is. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. There we read of Jesus teaching. He had been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and then he gave a parable of the wise man and the foolish man. Matthew chapter 7, I want to begin reading with verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, did you catch that? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Contrast. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Did you catch that? Everyone who hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Again, you see that Jesus taught some of the same ideas that James did. Or I should say, Jesus actually spoke them and James got them from him. Don't want to get that wrong there. And so they're speaking the same thing, okay? Here Jesus says it in a parable. And so Jesus said that it was the wise man who did, not only heard, but he did. He's the wise man who built his house upon what? A rock, a firm foundation, that which is going to hold a structure and keep it from falling over. Contrast to that, a person who hears but doesn't do is like the foolish man who just, well, I'm going to build it right here. Don't worry about a foundation, and had nothing to stand on, and when the winds came, it fell flat. So we're only fooling ourselves if we think we can get along in life by only hearing the truths of Scripture without ever doing what they say. Living the Christian life is more than making a decision for Christ and then just going on and not bothering to listen or do what the Word of God teaches. So those kind of people who are like that, if we see there, you know, they're not going to find their way in heaven. Because when we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us and He brings conviction. He starts showing us where we're wrong. He starts working. He starts making changes. And if we're at a point that we don't have that, we have to think twice. Maybe that decision was not real, but we'll get onto that more later. Okay, then thinking about this, so how do we get beyond hearing the word and actually doing it without it being self-effort, without it being legalistic? And I think to answer that question, I want to turn now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 14, say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And here's the key. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So are we living by the flesh or are we living by the Spirit? So the solution is not to try to muster up more energy. Oh, I gotta do this. And we try to do it in the flesh. And when we try to do it in the flesh, yeah, we mess up again and again and again. We don't have it within us. Nor did God intend for us to live in the flesh. Rather, he wants us to live by the Spirit who indwells us. He wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our lives so that we can have the victory, so that it's not self-effort. Then in Ephesians 2:10, we see this, "For we are his workmanship." Let me say that again. "For we are his workmanship." Whose? His. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So notice the wording. We are his workmanship. It's not our workmanship. It's his. He wants to do a work in us. But we have to be the willing vessel. We have to give him freedom. We have to allow him to do the work. And that's through his Holy Spirit. So in the flesh, we're selfish. We tend to do evil works. But in the Spirit, we do good works. We live according to the power of God. So the question could be asked, who's operating in your life? Is it the flesh? Or is it the Spirit? Now, don't get me wrong, that's a challenge. We all know how hard that is. I mean, you know, it seems like living in the Spirit is a once-in-a-while thing. We just have the flesh just wants to keep having its way. And so we have to keep fighting against the flesh. Psalm 19:9 in the Old Testament, the question is asked, how can a young man cleanse his way? Anybody remember that verse and know what the answer is? It's given right there. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. Let me say it again. By what? Taking heed. Heed according to his word. It's paying attention. It's doing it. And so the Word of God teaches again and again in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we need to live. We need to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Now, we can contrast this, if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 or 5. Hebrews 5. Verses 11 to 14 say, "Of which we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's only a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so here the writer of Hebrews is pointing out these people that should have been doers of the word. They should have understood the truths of Scripture, but they're still grappling with the simplest of truths. They're dull of hearing. They really weren't listening with the intent of following and doing. They were only intent in getting out of it what pleased them. They didn't care enough to listen to what was said so that salvation and truths concerning the Christian life could be applied to their lives. And sad to say, today we live in a world where there's a lot of people who are dull of hearing. They're interested in the Christian life only as it benefits them. Only as it benefits them and makes their life easier. If they can get something from God, if I can pray to God and He gives me what I want, I'm all for it. Remember, that was what Jesus was challenging the people back in John chapter 6, which I don't have time to look at. You know, and so there was that issue there with them. These people are not committed to Christ. They didn't care enough to listen closely. The writer says that they should have been teachers, but instead they were still like babies, still only able to receive the simplest of truths. Rather than understanding what they should have, they weren't able to grasp it. Now, teachers, they realize, teachers that teach young children, realize that when you're teaching children, you really have to keep it simple. Because that's where they are, that's where they live. You try to give in complex things and it's going to be over their heads. Well, that's what the writer was saying these people were like. You know, everything seemed to be over their heads. Not that it was difficult, it's just that they weren't up to the challenge. They weren't there yet. But when a person becomes an adult should be able to recognize spiritual truth and should want to be willing to receive it and apply it to their lives. Verse 14, we learn that the goal is able to discern the difference between good and evil. In the day in which we live, I am appalled at what I call the lack of common sense. Some of the stuff that you hear from politicians and others, like, where's their minds? Where is common sense? But we constantly have to make choices in what to do. Some choices are good, some choices are not good. The question is do we have the understanding to know the difference? And then get beyond that, do we have the wisdom and maturity and strength of character to actually do what we know is right, irregardless of what other people think, say, or do, what ridicule we may receive in return. In Joshua chapter 1, I want to read verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do," there you see it again, "according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And here again we have teaching regarding God's desire for us. This command was given directly. This is Joshua chapter 1. After Moses is gone, he went up into the mount and there he's going to die or whatever. And now Joshua, who had been kind of like the second-hand man, is suddenly in control of these millions of Israelis, children of Israel. He's now in charge. He's experienced for years and years and years, over 40 years, he's seen what the children of Israel have been like. Their hardness of heart, their rebellion. And so Joshua is now suddenly in control. And I don't know what he felt like. I can't imagine what he must have been thinking at that point. And God tells him to be strong and courageous. And he tells him, I want you to observe to do. And it's no, and that is there twice. So it was important that Joshua understood. And so God speaks to him. And he tells him these words. Do not turn from it to the right hand. But that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Notice it's all the law. Sometimes I think that we as Christians think that we can pick and choose. Well, I can go along and agree with this scripture. Okay. This one over here, don't want that one. Don't want that one. No. That is not what God intended. God did not intend for us to pick and choose. This is his word. You obey all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but it seems like a lot of truths or scripture, they're in a balance, and you have extremes on both sides. You know, the Pharisees, I mean, they took everything to the extreme. I mean, they made rules and they made laws. They were legalists to the nth degree. I think I shared to you when Lynn and I were in Israel. On the Sabbath day, as we're coming down to breakfast, we happened to get in the wrong elevator. And the wrong elevator, it stopped on every floor. You didn't push the buttons. And we learned later the reason it was set up that way is because that was work, pushing a button to go from floor to floor. That gives you an idea of the extreme that the Pharisees took it to. Then there are others, I do as I please. Kind of like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. I do what I want to do, and I don't do what I don't want to do. And you can't tell me otherwise. So there's extremes on so many truths of Scripture. We can take them out of context, either direction. I once heard a man say, a pastor, that you can support anything you want in the Bible. You know, if you take it out of context, you can support any idea you want. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. But don't go to the right or to the left. Keep it in God's order, right where God wants it to be. Okay? So do it exactly as God wants. And notice, it says there that you will prosper wherever you go. Wow. That's a pretty good thing, prospering. God's going to give his blessing upon you. Now, by that, I'm not saying that, you know, you're never going to have any problems. Rest assured, we all have problems. Sometimes God brings us through problems because so that we learn to draw closer to him. We're so stubborn in our selfishness that it takes God putting us into a situation where there is no other way to turn except to him. And sometimes God allows us in those situations. Maybe you've experienced them. I don't know. But anyway, God wants to bless us. He wants us to be doers of the word so he can bless us. He wants us to apply the truths of Scripture. He wants us to be led by the Spirit of God and so that we can be a greater influence and help to people around us. So, we will be blessed when we observe to do. I want to look at one more scripture before wrapping things up. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord." In my margin of my Bible, I've written, "They did not acknowledge his holiness." In other words, they did what they wanted to do. Yesterday morning in one of the story hour stories, they actually had this story and just kind of brought back to my mind what it was there. But the sons of Eli, they were wicked men. They were not acting as priests should have. They took, when people would bring in a sacrifice, they took what they wanted, not following what God said, the way it was supposed to be done. They just took it and grabbed it for themselves. And so they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to Eli, their dad. And so finally, God had to bring judgment. As a result, they lost their lives. Eli lost his life. The Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and it was a sad day in Israel's history. I trust that none of us are disobedient to the point that God has to judge us, because that's not a pretty spot to be in. And then one more thing yet before closing. I want to speak to anyone here who you've heard the gospel. You've heard the message of salvation. Maybe you've heard it numerous times, but you've only always been a hearer of the word. You've never been a doer. You didn't follow up with it. You just listened. You heard it, but you didn't accept it. I pray that if there's anyone here today that you're in that condition, that you would follow through and be a doer of the word. That is, you would receive the gospel message. You would trust Christ as your Savior, that you would allow Him freedom into your life so that your life can be lived out as God intended. And so if by chance you're here, you've never made that choice, maybe it was not a deliberate rejection, maybe it was just the case that you kept putting it off. Nah, not today. Nah, not today. Nah, not today. And here you are. You still are in that state where you're not a child of God. Do you know for certain that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? You can know for certain. The scripture makes that clear. But we must receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. We have to accept his offer of salvation. Act on it. That is, do, believe, and take him for who he is. Now, there may be even some here who, maybe you went through the motions. Maybe you actually sometime in the past, yeah, I'll receive him, but you know it really wasn't genuine. You're still living your own life. God hasn't made any difference in your life. Well, there's a chance there's someone like that here today too. Again, if you're not sure, you know, you can receive him. Now, understand, we don't have young kids here, but a lot of times children, I know when I was a child, oh, I did something wrong. Does that mean I'm no longer a Christian? You know what I'm saying? Satan throws that into you. Oh, you're not a Christian. You did that. He's always throwing that in your face. How many of you experienced that in your lifetime? Yeah, I know I did. Well, you know, it may have been once or twice. Lord, I'm not sure if that was real or not, but today I want to make sure it's real, just in case. Now, I still look back and go back to that date when I was 7 years old and trusted the Lord as my Savior in that Sunday school class. But today, as we close, don't just be a hearer who looks in the mirror and does nothing about it. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Allow the Lord to have full control. When I look in the mirror, am I paying attention? Am I cleaning up any messes? Or am I just going on as if everything is okay? If we want to really have a meaningful life, then we need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It means that I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. I live for God rather than for myself. So I ask you, as we saw that parable, what kind of house are you building? What are you building it on? A firm foundation? Or one that isn't going to hold and stand in the test of time? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the clarity of your word, for the truth of your word. Lord, that you have given to us your word, which can enable us to live as you intended. As we yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit who lives within us, and as we seek to apply the truths of your word in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.